This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Buenas tardes.
That's how you want to start.
And buenas tardes means welcome back to Punch Up the Jam.
Are you talking with liquid in your mouth?
Yeah, I store it in there like a chipmunk for the long winter.
Oh my God, I'm hitting the theme song.
People get so pissed. My mom's always like, swallow it. Either don't talk or swallow the water. Now.
It's time for Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
Hi, welcome to Punch Up the Jam. This is me, Meow.
I'm me.
Chris. There you go. And this is the show where I and a various rotating guest role. This is off to a bad start.
In various guest roles.
We try to make the greatest hits even greater.
What have you guys been up to?
I think I hate myself a little more every time I have to say that.
Hey, gang.
Yeah. That's the thing. Am I supposed to...
It causes such shrinkage when I hear it or think it.
I feel like I don't know if I'm supposed to reintroduce the show every time there's a new episode, as if this is someone's first episode, or if it's like, yeah, we get it. We all have been here.
Think about how sick like Regis Philbin and Kathy Lee were of like whatever their tagline was, but how they never were embarrassed by it. And that's what makes someone successful, I think.
Never being embarrassed.
Shame. Yeah, you can't have shame. You're always selling it.
Okay. All right. Let's try that this episode.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to Punch Up the Jam, the show with no shame. Today is going to be very fun. First of all, because you're back.
Who here knows how to party?
Chris Fleming.
Who wants to see me party? Hi, guys.
Chris Fleming.
Yeah. You're not going to play the song?
No, I think we're past that.
Yeah.
Do you want the song?
You should play like
no, I'll play you a song.
Really experimental percussion now.
Oh, yeah, sure. Here you go. You know him as the host of Nothing. It's Chris Fleming. Oh, no, you want me to try it again? Okay. You know him as a Twitter star.
Oh, come on.
Known for his front-facing camera videos.
Jesus Christ. I've done two of those.
You know him.
Because of serious pressure for my family.
Excuse me, I'm not done.
And company.
Stop. You know him from his hit YouTube series, Gale.
Oh, my God. Please. Please.
It's Chris Fleming. Thanks for coming back again.
Thanks for having me back.
I'm really excited about this episode. First of all, Mr. Jones.
I thought it was called Mr. Jones and me.
Absolutely, it should be. It should be Mrs. Jones, to be fair, already. It's 2020. Where is it?
Yeah.
But also because this episode came about in a very unique way. I don't even think I told you this. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So longtime fans of the show, longtime fans of mine, if there is such a thing, are aware of my frequent collaborator, Ian Edgerly. He's a producer, musician. He's incredibly talented. And he's done a lot of the punch-ups for this show. And he kind of unsolicited, honestly, in the best way, was like, hey, if you ever do Mr. Jones, I have a punch-up. And I was like, okay, I mean, show me what you got. He sends me a clip of a punch-up, and I was like, this is so funny. I will do a whole episode of the show just to use this.
And you've been trying to avoid doing punch-ups for a while now.
Oh, come on. No one needs to know that. But you're right. Yeah. It turns out you can
only... I didn't mean what I said. Would you also mind if I did a quick reading of a script that I've been working on?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, like later on?
Oh, yeah.
It's long.
I'd love that.
Okay.
I'd love nothing more. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, I figure since I have this platform, I might as well use this to diversify my catalog. So I'd love to read a poem at some point, if that's okay.
It's a spec script for Little Bear.
I have some batshit notes for this song. Are you ready?
Yes.
So if you had to guess, what year do you think this song came out?
97.
I would have guessed around then, too. 93.
Ooh, ah.
How is this still so popular when we were in high school?
Yeah, the way I found out about it was through my crush's MySpace. It was her song.
Yo, see, for me, it was every boy on the football team who was too cowardly to do what they wanted to do, which was be on the soccer team.
Whoa.
That's the key demographic. Or the fans of...
Because soccer's too bi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fans of Dave Matthews Band specifically Crash Into Me.
Love it.
And the fans of this song by the Counting Crows... That Venn diagram, a circle.
Yeah, both of those relax my body, my central nervous system in a way that nothing else can besides Rob Thomas.
So you like it?
Oh, I love it. Can you clear your throat, though, out of decency for the listeners?
I don't have to. My cackle does it for me. Comes out in 1993. It is, of course, The Counting Crows.
The best.
If you haven't seen the music video, I suggest pausing and looking it up right now. It looks like a man experimenting with movement. That's the best way to describe it.
What do you mean?
I'll show it to you after. It's like he's dancing. I don't know. I don't know how to describe this song and the subsequent video in any other way other than straight men should not be allowed to travel abroad. More specifically, study abroad, but I think travel at large. Also,
no one should be allowed to study abroad. Straight men shouldn't be allowed to travel.
Straight men should not be allowed to read Ernest Hemingway.
But whose else is going to read that?
Interesting lesbians.
Yeah, old closeted people, I guess, but...
The pansexual community, I think, maybe has a soft spot for Ernest Hemingway, but otherwise, I think...
I cannot make it through Ernest Hemingway.
I've tried 6 times. I'm like, I guess I should know what this is about.
You remember how many times you've tried?
The Sun Also Rises. I did manage to read The Paris Wife, which is a historical fiction written by the perspective of one of his wives, but I think only because there was like some female.
Oh, I hate when it's like when Bo Burnham did 8th grade. Through the I'm going to tell this through the perspective of a girl I don't know.
So
who the hell are you?
The song reaches number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100. Which is staggering to me. I would have guessed 80 at best.
Oh.
And this is a detail I included just for you, Chris. Little known fact about Chris. As weird as he tries to seem.
Right.
What's your favorite movie? Movie you quote the most often.
Crazy Heart.
Yep. Do you know who produced this song?
The Counting Crows. David Tickle.
T-Bone Burnett.
No way.
T-Bone Burnett produced Mr.
That's
Jones.
That's why it's so good. Everything he touches turns to gold.
Well, unfortunately, it's at this point in the podcast I'm going to have to tell you, I think this song is loathsome.
Oh, you do?
I think this song is one of the worst songs we have done on the podcast.
Oh, see, I'm running from my... I try to get like a unique haircut and like dress all funky. But like if I like were to go senile, like this is...
This is what brings you back. You have a moment of lucidity because Mr. Jones.
End of the Notebook song. Yeah. This makes me, if everyone else in the world perished, I'd listen to this exclusively. I'd throw away all the St. Vincent. This is what I want.
Wow,
so we're in conflicting, okay.
Yeah, no, this is going to be an interesting episode.
This is going to actually add some maybe welcome tension.
Okay, I have another bomb to drop. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Jones, real guy. All of this, real story. It's so stream of consciousness. I assumed he must have gone to Amsterdam and tried some space cake and like wrote in his journal and then found himself to be so profound he committed it to tape.
And like Mr. Jones represents like capitalism.
Some like guy he was projecting onto at like a coffee shop. You know what I mean?
No. What do you mean?
A coffee shop. You know what I mean?
What are you miming?
Coffee shop. You know what I mean? Also, like there's something about a white guy with dreadlocks. All of this, I just feel like...
He hit on my sister once.
Adam Duritz?
Yeah.
What?
Outside of Rockwood, I think, which he owns.
He owns Rockwood Music Hall?
Yeah, I think so. Or like maybe he just...
This man is simultaneously like
he just hangs
an
out
enigma
there.
And also exactly correct. Every detail I learn about him, I'm like, yep, mm-hmm, correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
He didn't, let me get this right. I don't think he hit on my sister in an offensive way. My sister, it was like a...
Welcomed.
Yeah.
It was a welcome hit on. I've only heard stories about those.
Yeah.
So Mr. Jones is a real guy, Marty Jones, who was the bassist in Adam's previous band, The Himalayans. Mm-hmm. And here's a quote, okay? It's really a song. Should I do a voice? I don't know what Adam Duritz sounds like. I'm just going to make it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a song about my friend Marty and I. We went out one night to watch his dad play. His dad was a flamenco guitar player who lived in Spain, which I took the liberty of adding his name, David Serva. Which he's like an acclaimed flamenco guitarist. Okay. And he was in San Francisco in the Mission playing with his old flamenco troupe. And after the gig, we all went to this bar called the New Amsterdam in San Francisco on Columbus.
Eight or nine?
I don't know. I did the first voice that came to my head.
It's good.
No,
it's really good.
So,
are you getting arrested right now?
Do you hear the siren?
I do, yeah.
They heard me do that impression and they were like,
that's not what he sounds like.
Take her to prison.
Take her to lady jail.
I think I could have the most impact on the defund the police movement from the inside. So maybe it's for the best.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready! In 2013, Duritz explains that even though the song is named after Marty Jones, it's actually about himself. Again, he quotes himself. Okay, ready? I'm going to try a new voice this time.
Okay.
I wrote a song about me. I just happened to be out with him that night.
So a little extra detail for that
he's
earlier
quote. He's so insecure.
Quote,
he's putting so much on
his No. It gets worse, okay? Or better, I guess, depending on your perspective. But for me, I've already told you I don't like the song, so I'm going to be the negative Nancy today. And if you don't like it, fuck you! What if that's a take I took suddenly? Episode 120. Okay, so...
Did you just throw your mic in a trash basin?
So... They're out at that bar that he mentions, right? But more specifically, at that after party, they see the drummer for Chris Isaak, whose name is Kenny Dale Johnson, sitting with three women.
Okay.
Which, by the way, like, ladies.
Only assassins with like three names also.
How hard up are we that we're like, oh, that's the drummer for Chris Isaak.
Yeah.
Get in line with, like, it's cool.
How did anyone recognize the drummer for Chris Isaak?
Listen, I don't know. Maybe he's recognizable. Yeah. Sorry to Kenny Dale Johnson and his estate.
Yeah.
So last quote from Duritz. Okay, ready?
Yep.
I'm going to try one more voice. I think I'm going to get it right this time.
Okay.
It just seemed like, you know, we couldn't even manage to talk to girls. We were just thinking if we were rock stars, it'd be easier. I went home and I wrote the song.
So he's like literally like looking at a guy with three women being like, it's not fair.
I mean, that makes sense.
That should be me.
It kind of has that vibe, the song. Yeah.
But then he also has said, is that your phone? Are you serious?
Don't worry about me.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Where do you got to go? Where do you gotta be?
Nowhere. No, I'm here. I'm 100% here.
Nothing else exists except this podcast when this podcast is taping.
The alarm is to make sure you're enjoying recording the podcast.
Okay, so ask me.
Are you enjoying recording the podcast?
Yes, I am. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
So he went on to be like, everyone's like, thinks that I actually, it's clearly tongue in cheek. Clearly that's not true. Clearly I was writing it as a character. But then like, at the same time, now when they do this song, he has like such a sordid relationship with it that he's changed the lyrics from "We all want to be big, big stars. We got different reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to be big, big stars, but then we got second thoughts about that."
Oh, come on.
So like to say, it's which one is it? You know, did you write it about, it's an allegory about fame. It's not everything. It's just an ignorant kid who thinks fame is everything. Or is it like, that's what you thought until you got famous and you're like, oh, I'm still very lonely.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Last thing I'll say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is from my patron, Annika Anderson. My most distinct memory with this song, is playing Name That Artist in the van on the way to a ski race with my team. I was the youngest on the team by about 2 years.
Annika, downhill or cross country?
She's not here.
Does it say?
No, she didn't include that detail.
Okay. You know, that's when I know I've been overserved at a bar. I ask if I ever say, do you ski? That's when Auntie needs to go home. Put her to bed.
So I was constantly trying to seem cool around them. I wasn't getting any of the songs, but then this song came on and I screamed, Counting Crows! And everyone looked at me like I was insane. I then started singing along. This part, ready? I then started singing along, to which the coach said, who sings this song? I proudly repeated, The Counting Crows!
And can anybody hear me?
And then my coach said, let's keep it that way. Annika, this episode is for you now.
Annika, are you bedridden from that?
For life. That's how you become. That's Grandpa Joe's origin story in Willy Wonka. That's why he ends up in the bed.
Ski coaches are, they have dog groomer energy where they're just like, they don't care how you feel. They can level you. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're at a crossroads here.
Did he come out of a clam to sing that? Sha-la-la-la.
You're thinking of the Little Mermaid. You're thinking of Kiss the Girl.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is going to be a Flemmy episode on my behalf. It's because you're here, Chris Fleming. Thank you so much. Already tell the movement that's happening every time I cackle. I can't apologize for what's about to happen.
Have you ever read Every Time I Cackle by Ernest Hemingway's wife? Good night, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in.
We're at a crossroads here. If we dog on Adam Duritz, which I feel like I keep saying his name wrong. I don't
dog on Adam Duritz.
Do we like assume that he's in on the joke and this is all ironic?
No. No one's ever in on the joke.
To come in at the top of the song. Sha la 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 la. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's so apathetic. And then simultaneously to do that while apathetic.
Oh, no, that's cool.
That's like the straight guy in the theater program. He's like, I'll do it, but I'm not excited about it.
I'm not going to like it. And I'm going to reap a lot of benefits from it, but I'm not going to have a good time.
He's like, yeah, kiss the girl. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, don't be, whatever. I'm straight. That's, what else is there? Why else? It's like this like irony bro, like delivery that in his own song that he, the whole song reads that way. It's like, he wants us to know he does not give a fuck about this song the whole song through.
Mm. I have a different take on it.
Tell me. Tell me now.
As we go on. No, it's a story. It's more story based. I think he's trying really hard right now, but doesn't want to show that he's trying really hard.
That's exactly what I'm saying. We're two takes of the same coin. That's not an expression. Let it go. Don't mention it.
We're two takes of the same coin.
Shh, we're playing this clip.
It's down at the New Amsterdam. Stand at this yellow-haired girl. Mr. Jones strikes up a conversation. With the black-haired flamenco dance. You know she dances while his father plays. It's all sudden beautiful, and we all want something beautiful. Man, I wish I was beautiful.
So he's got face blindness, Adam. He's only identifying women by their hair. That's interesting.
The blatant disregard.
Man, I wish I was beautiful. I say that in the shower, curled up.
That's what I'm saying. This is a space cake trip. We're all just like, this is Morning Pages while on Space Cake. And then he just committed to music. The blatant disregard for rhythm is so blatant, I would say it falls under the brave category.
Oh, see, I have no regard for rhythm, so I wasn't even picking up on that.
Yeah, but you also do comedy songs.
I guess you could look at it that way.
Number 5 on the Billboard charts.
While you're talking about Morning Pages, I would implore anyone who's between 18 and 20 to do Morning Pages, and anyone older than that to not do Morning Pages.
So this is simultaneously an ad for and against the artist's way.
Well, yeah, I don't like when older people do the artist's way. Like, hey, when my friends like who are now getting creative during quarantine, and they're like, hey, can you read this?
Can I tell you a secret?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever admitted this on air. Mm-hmm. I've been doing Morning Pages for 5 years.
Are you serious?
Every day.
Well, I'm telling you, like, it was a huge breakthrough for me at a point, but then
We can't have this conversation. We cannot make fun of this and then also be doing it ourselves. We have to choose a lane.
I thought you were going to cut this.
I'm not cutting this. Getting Chris Fleming admitting he did the artist's way? Are you kidding? This is gold.
I did Morning Pages at one point. I like maybe 6 months, okay? Then I...
Chris Fleming is obsessed with the artist's way. Pass it on. I was down at the New Amsterdam staring to see yellow-haired girl. Miss Dawn starts up a conversation with a black-haired. The black-haired specifically delivery. Flamenco dancer. She dances while her father plays guitar. And what? Guess what? She's suddenly beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Oof.
Does that not strike you as...
She's only beautiful in front of her dad.
His dad. While his father plays guitar.
Who's father? Mr. Jones's?
Mr. Jones's dad.
The Joneses are there?
It's Mr. Jones, Mr. Jones, and me.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that this was a family thing.
Mr. Jones's and I.
Both Mr. Jones...
Mr. Jones Jr. and Senior. I also found out David Serva, his dad, changed his last name to Serva because he's a flamenco guitar player. His last name is Jones.
Stop.
It's true.
This goes up way higher than
I'm telling
I ever thought.
You, we need to weed
How
men.
How high does this go?
We need to weed men out of the genetic pool.
There's what about the Jones Soda Company? You know, like they have like those unique flavors like lobster violet. Hibiscus sink water.
And then suddenly he's like, man, I kind of get this though. Like, this is when you are like tripping on, I mean, even alcohol, I feel like, and you're like at the bar and you're just like out there and all you have the capacity to do at this point is like observe stuff and you're like, wow. And then like you're thinking about your thoughts and you're like, this is poetry. I should write this down. Mm-hmm. And then you like go to piss and you catch yourself in the mirror and you're like, that's what I look like.
Yeah.
I wish I was beautiful.
Well, you know, that's exactly what I, for many years, the way I got confidence. I don't know if I've told you this. I imagined myself in middle school. I saw a tiny Google. This was in the early days of the internet. I saw a tiny Google image of Jude Law, and I kind of implanted it in my mind's eye. And so I think that's still why people are like, hey, why are you strutting around like your dad and been to the Sour Patch Kids, Chris? How do you get your confidence? I still believe I look like that little image of Jude Law. And then I catch myself in like a Hyundai rear view. And I'm like, yikes. Yeah. I could show you the Google image.
Strutting around like my dad invented Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah. That's what people say to me in meetings. They're like, they basically say, you shouldn't be this confident.
Okay. I have to. Oh, we must persevere. So
come down. I love that. I love that. Bringing that motif back.
The way he says I'm trying to imagine conversationally if I've ever said in my life.
Yeah, yeah. He has a mouthful of a breakfast burrito saying that. It's like someone really close to you and they're like, hey, like, do you need this?
No.
Yeah.
Ask me a question with a breakfast burrito in my mouth.
How long are you gonna have that breakfast burrito in your mouth?
And that's not what he does. He goes, It feels like he's trying to push something out of his mouth. That's the sound you make like when you're definitely not gonna throw up, but you're kind of trying to and you're failing. That, you know what,
that's my biggest fear is throwing up, so I never try.
With this bar narrative, I think he looked in the mirror and was like, oh, that was beautiful. Yeah.
Just the sight of himself. Hi, Adam.
So come dance this silence down through the morning. And then he goes full Van Morrison, which I think I read it makes him angry to be compared to Van Morrison.
Who compares him to Van Morrison?
I mean, brown-eyed girl.
Oh.
Right?
Black-haired flamenco dancer, you mean? Like that?
No, no, the shalalas.
Oh. Yeah.
Although I'm desperately, why I'm not speaking for once in my rat life is because I'm desperately trying to remember Brown-Eyed Girl and all I hear is sha-la-la-la-la, don't be sad.
Yeah, that's all I can hear now too.
No, Brown-Eyed Girl.
Everyone in Belfast complained that Van Morrison's broken into their home at one point. Isn't he the most hated man in Ireland?
I think he's the tiniest man in Ireland, and I think he might be the most bitter man in Ireland.
I saw an interview with him where he was like just covered in like fedoras and sunglasses and transition lenses, and he said that he's never heard that the most good song has been made since 1975.
Is that when his last record came out?
No, I think he made stuff in the 80s.
I'm like, and even singing in my head, I have the chorus, and I'm like, my brown-eyed girl.
Yeah.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la, don't be scared. It's
don't so be over. Scared. I'm a really nice guy, but don't be scared. I'm also
whoa,
a crab.
Whoa, but I'm also a crab.
I'm a land crab. Don't be scared.
Do you hate it? Sidebar from the sidebar. Do you think Little Mermaid's about Sebastian trying to kiss Ariel?
The land crab?
Yeah, no, that's about him encouraging Prince Eric to kiss Ariel. He's not encouraging himself. No, you think it's a monologue.
He's talking to camera. He's saying to kids, don't be scared. I'm just a land crab. I know how to have a good time.
And then the top of the wall.
See, Ariel likes me. I'm not that bad or scary. I'm a land crab.
Yay!
Because they tested it in that demo audiences and the people were scared of the land crab.
Do you know what's happening to us right now?
No.
It's
Morgan Durst.
Contagious.
How do you say his name?
Fred I don't know. Durst? I've changed it every time in hopes that at least once I got it right.
The lead singer of the Counting Crows. I think that sounds better to me.
The structure of this song, is that verse 2?
Is this
AABA?
I'm not a doctor.
What is the structure of this song and how did this?
I'm not a cop.
The 90s had it so easy. Pick up a guitar, say whatever the fuck you want. It's 6 minutes long. Everyone loves it.
It was a different time.
Hooks? Who needs
shark
them?
Shark attacks and rabies.
Literally, like, the hook wasn't invented until 2011. I don't understand.
I think this is full of hooks. I think what he just did was...
Okay, you want to know the hook in the song? Mr. Jones and me. You want to know when that comes in the song? Fucking 2 minutes in. Why would anyone have listened to this? Why? How did this...
You know, there's a scene in Deer Hunter in the 70s. They just
look at me. Do you think I know this?
Okay, no. So Deer Hunter's like way too long, and a character gets married in Deer Hunter, the Deer Hunter, and they you could just imply that they got married and there was a wedding, but they just like had a wedding and nothing happens at the wedding. But it's like 35 minutes, maybe 45 minutes.
Is it an art film?
No, it was in theaters and people just like sat through. It was like watching someone you don't know's wedding tape. Like there's no dialogue.
That's what I'm saying. This is why when
you
could
take your time back in the day.
We look back at art and we're like, man, that was when art was art. Now, and it's like, yeah, because audiences were so much more patient. Like people would,
yeah, right.
This today, like no one, once you heard the, yeah, this yeah. song we turned off already. Skip, next, clear channel radio, what's on?
Yeah, do you think choruses are going to come in right away soon?
They already do. I mean, literally, if you don't have a hook in the first 30 seconds, like, no one will listen to your song.
Yeah, you're going to have to take the midnight train to Georgia.
Great song.
Saddest song.
Is it?
You understand? It's about a guy.
I thought that was about a fun red-eye train.
No, it's about a guy who can't make it in L.A., so he leaves, and his wife or girlfriend is like, this is not my dream. I don't want to go back to Georgia with you, but I would rather live in your world than without you in my... Oh, I'm going to cry.
So then you believe in something. You want to be someone who believes in anything?
Yeah.
I mean, I think what he's really saying is he wants to believe in himself. Yeah. Pass me a bottle, Mr. Jones. They don't even drink shots. They bought a whole bottle. Wow.
That's a big ask in a bar, like for Mr. Jones to reach behind the counter.
I have my next clip for you. It's 2 seconds and it's just for you.
Do you get the impression that he and Mr. Jones aren't that close? That they're not that.
The fact that he's calling him Mr. Jones, I would say yes.
It's very formal.
Yes, Senior Jones and yo.
I feel like he is someone, I feel like he would list Mr. Jones as his best friend and Mr. Jones, he wouldn't crack Mr. Jones' top five.
I was thinking top eight.
Top eight.
That was always really bad when you were in someone's top eight and they weren't in yours. I said it that way so I could hide from the truth, which is...
That happened to you sometimes.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not just the whole clip.
Ask me a question really quick.
Hey, are you going to be around later?
Yeah.
Hey. Are you still on the fence about who you're going to vote for?
Yeah.
Are you still upset about having to wear a mask?
Yeah.
Male, are you still having large parties with young Hollywood people?
Yeah.
Indoors?
Yeah.
You still going to water parks?
One more? Just one more.
Did I see a viral video of you refusing to put a mask on Delta Airlines?
Getting ahead of ourselves, sorry. Yeah. What? This is specifically 90s voice. This was a voice, a genetic, I don't know. I don't know if there's something in the water, like in the late 60s when all these Gen Xers were born or something, but like... There was something happening that when all these men learned how to sing,
they're
they were like
fucked up from Pete and Pete. The whole generation completely.
No. This is way before. He's way before. This song
Gen X
came out in 93. So maybe he's a boomer. I don't know what the fuck Adam Duritz is, but
he's a County Crow.
The era of rock music from like 1990 to like 1996. Every single male rock singer is singing like he's trying to make his throat larger.
I guess I don't really understand. I love this stuff, and I've never really thought about it. Like the stuff, like the Goo Goo Dolls. I'm like, how did this ever happen? And it's all very similar.
No, not Goo. I'm talking about like Butthole Surf. No, that's not what I'm thinking of. I'm talking about.
Could you watch your mouth, please? In my family's
crash,
home.
Crash Test Dummies.
I don't know. The
I'm talking test about dummies. Counting Crows. I'm talking about Dave Matthews Band. It's like.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it like New Orleans? Is it trying to be like? New Orleans?
Is it trying to be like New Orleans?
Yeah. Did you just play that from your hand?
Yeah. I have it. It's my ringtone.
I should have used it again.
Sorry. One more time?
Yeah. Did you just play that from your palm?
Yeah.
Okay, this joke's getting tired. I'm sorry. So now we finally have what I would say is the actual first chorus.
This joke's getting tired, and so am I. So
good night. The end of the show.
The Sound of Music, but if they were all comedians.
Good night. So that's walking off stage. All right, that's my time, everybody.
The joke's getting tired, and so am I. So I must go to funny sleep.
Good night.
Mr. Jones and me tell each other fairy tales, and we stare at the beautiful women. She's looking at you. Oh, no, no, she's looking at me.
Hey, yo. Okay, first thought, best thought, go.
What?
First thought, best thought, go.
Again, it sounds like Mr. Jones is trying not to engage in conversation, just listen to music, and this guy's like not stopping talking to him.
So
you think she's looking at me? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know, man.
We're like best friends, right?
Yeah. Have we met, Adam?
I think he says we tell each other fairy tales, and then the next line is, and we
Brothers
stare,
Grimm.
And we stare at the beautiful women. And to me, that sounds
so
like
Hansel
someone
and Gretel walk into the wood and they're just looking at hotties.
What's next? I just think that he like said something a little too intimate, mm-hmm. and then was like, wait, wait, wait. How do I backtrack this? And we stare at the beautiful women.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because you're saying that sounds like pillow talk, fairy tales. Yeah.
I mean, I think that clearly he wrote a song about how much he loves this man, Mr. Jones. Also, Mr.
It's very
Jones.
Passive. It's classic straight man, just being like.
Mr. Jones walked so Mr. Big could run. Like, clearly there is some sexual tension here. And that's why he's like, we tell each other fairy tales and we stare at the beautiful women.
You know what? Did you ever see the episode of Sex and the City? I didn't think it really fit the tone of the show where Miranda goes back in time to kill Reagan. And Mr. Big dies a virgin, right, in the movie? That's like someone who wrote the movie didn't watch the rest of it and thought Mr. Big, they had him die as a virgin, right? In a Bubba Gump.
I think I'm becoming haunted during this episode. I think you're putting a poltergeist in me.
You were talking about Sex and the City, right? There's no other Mr. Big, no?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
I also feel like from my years of like pretending I wasn't queer to myself, it's like, oh, she's looking at you. No, she's looking at me. Like, that's like, I've just never heard straight people talk like
that. No. I would always be like, oh yeah, no, she's certainly not looking at me. And if she is, she's
Maybe we just hate ourselves. Maybe that's why we don't understand this line of thinking.
I think that confidence leads you to be able to sing like this.
Mr. Jones and me, we tell each other fairy tales. What are you trying to prove, Adam?
It's kind of like before HD. Like, people could just make choices and no one questioned them, you know?
I think it was before the internet.
That's okay, yeah.
You could just be any kind of little freak and there was nothing to compare to.
You could be any kind of little freak.
I was just thinking about that. I was like, man, I wish I would have just died a diseased, shit-covered peasant in the 1500s instead of, like, staring at my space calculator all day. I'm exhausted!
You still have that space calculator? I thought you were gonna pawn it.
Smiling in the bright lights, coming through in stereo, when everybody loves you, you could never be lonely.
I'm just gonna go ahead and disagree with that. I remember hearing something about the guy who made Minecraft. Mm-hmm. I think he's like gotta be one of like the richest men in the world, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The most lonely man, apparently. That's what I know. I've heard of him for this because he's so lonely.
You think everyone loves him, though? No one knows him.
I don't think
Paul Rudd's lonely?
What?
Everyone loves Paul Rudd.
Why would you bring him up?
Because I said when everybody loves you.
I'm going to fall off my chair, the slip and slide. You can't say that name apropos of nothing. Whoop! My coccyx! I can't.
Ouch, my sacrum.
I want to also talk about when everybody loves you. Mm-hmm. That was a curse. Specifically the way he said you, that I'm cursed.
You. The spores came out, yeah.
Can I hear that one more time?
Sure.
When everybody loves you.
Yeah, a little mushroom dust comes out of your mouth.
He dropped into the devil's register.
Ooh, yeah.
I need to hear it one more time.
Everybody loves you. When everybody loves you.
Yeah.
Maybe he's haunted.
No,
I got ghosts on the brain. It's Halloween now.
No, I checked. He's not.
Okay, so that was our chorus. And then he's like, cool. I gave the people what they need. Now I'm going to go fuck around in a huge way.
While I'm gonna paint my picture, paint myself in blue, red, and black, and gray. All of the beautiful colors are very, very meaningful. Yeah, well, you know, gray is my favorite color.
He's depressed. He's so depressed.
There was so much there I could write a 10-page paper about. Let's start at the beginning. Oh, my God. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to paint my picture. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, I thought we were in a bar. I thought we were vibing. And now we're, I guess, in your art class at UCLA Extension. Okay.
You can bring paints to a bar.
You cannot. I have tried. Oil paints, you need more ventilation.
Okay.
Acrylic, they don't want you to stain the booths. Yeah. That vinyl, do you know how expensive vinyl is?
It's too dark for watercolor.
It's too dark for watercolor. I've said that so many times in my life. Yeah. Paint myself.
What's your least favorite kind of paint?
We're not done.
Watercolor.
Okay, stop. It's clearly oil paint. It's too much
oil
maintenance.
Paint's so good.
Paint. Are you done?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Ask me again.
Paint myself in blue and red and black and gray, and you get a color. All of the beautiful colors mm-hmm. are very, very meaningful. Mm-hmm. That is me walking through MoMA, not knowing anything, looking at a Rothko, someone saying, "What do you think?" I'm going, "Oh, it's very meaningful." That, what do I think? That's very meaningful. You know what? Sorry, I misspoke. It's very, very meaningful.
Yeah. That's how I talked about Oedipus when I hadn't read it and I was called on it.
And then, yeah, well, you know, gray is my favorite color. So the tests for a sociopath.
This guy's a mess.
You abuse animals. Mm-hmm. Gray is your favorite color.
And you sleep on your back. And you flirt with people on planes.
And you think it can't get any worse, right? Like, that was genuinely, suddenly I went from being like, oh, this is just like a white guy with dreads studying abroad.
It's my favorite color. I like how he just loses himself.
He was at the bar, he threw up, and somehow that made things worse, and now he's having like a truly transcendental experience, and he's just screaming at patrons, being like, gray is my favorite color. And they're like, sir, did you want a water? Does baby need a taxi? I felt so symbolic
yesterday. That's not really on the cartoon emotions, you know, angry, bashful.
Symbolic.
Happy, frustrated, symbolic.
Okay, I feel
symbolic.
Today, I am symbolic.
The way you're talking to me right now makes me feel really symbolic.
I just really wish you could run it back and see that you're making me feel very symbolic.
When you rear-ended me, I felt symbolic.
Question.
That's how the French deal with rear-ending.
Okay. And then they kiss and they share a single cigarette. They each smoke one side, Lady and the Tramp style.
They share
light it in the middle.
Half baguette in the morning. And that's all. And they look good. Oh my God, did he say I'd buy myself a gray guitar, his favorite color?
If I knew Picasso, mm-hmm. I would buy myself a gray guitar and play. Who's going to tell him?
That's a weird condition.
Who's going to tell him?
I'm not.
Adam, if you're...
Don't tell him.
No, I'm sorry. Adam, if you're listening, Picasso died...
He doesn't need to know.
Died 25 years before you wrote the song.
Come on.
I'm sorry. Someone had to tell him.
He's just refreshing meetup.com, hoping to see him.
No, you know what? This was the first draft for Midnight in Paris. That's what it was.
Never saw it.
Oh.
Oh. So there's a brief wormhole that takes place.
I'm telling you, these men did drugs together, and that is the entirety of the story behind this song. And he keeps accidentally exposing it, and then he's like, oh, run it back. This is supposed to be for radio.
Adam, could you really quick go back? Could you talk real quick about how you guys suddenly saw into the future?
No. Nope.
Before you start talking about seeing women again?
Oh, did I say that? Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for telling us everything we needed to know, and then simultaneously absolutely fucking nothing. You stare into the future, and then you stare at the beautiful women. How beautiful are these women that you were like, I'm looking at 2030, but that lady's butt, pretty great.
It's Mr. Jones's dad that makes them beautiful.
David Sellus? What's his name?
Serva.
God, how do you remember that? Mm-hmm. That was a whole 10 minutes ago.
I learned that Bill Clinton remembers every name of every woman he's ever met. I learned that as a child, and so I've tried to do that.
You're sharing a lot on this podcast.
Am I?
You thought you looked like Jude Law as a child?
No, I don't think I said that. It must have been a past guest.
You know what? I think it was Adam Duritz staring into the future. He stared into this moment right now and said that. Standing in the spotlight, I pull myself
Oh, he bought it.
Yeah, so he did buy that guitar.
So he met Picasso.
So he met Picasso and he bought
somewhere
the guitar.
Between that. Okay.
That's cool. What I think he stored into the future. And he saw Picasso.
Started into the future.
So he started into the future and he saw Picasso. He saw Picasso.
Mr. Jones.
Master Jones and me. If this was like an Irish folk song, it suddenly would have the legs that it needed to deserve being in the top five of the Billboard Hot 100.
He's got the legs.
It's got the legs. She's got the legs. Okay. Everybody loves me. Oh my God. I will never be lonely. Did you hear the sha-la-la?
No.
Sha-la-la.
Oh, the ladies in the back.
The ladies, the yellow haired and the black haired lady are holding it down. Yeah. They've stopped dancing long enough to catch their breath and sing some sha-la-las.
Oh yeah, I did hear that, yeah.
Van Morrison is shaking.
Yeah. Shaking.
Van Morrison is shaking. Shaking. He's shaking in his grave. Did you ever see that show, Dairy Girls? Oh, I tried watching it. It's
That's
good.
An island show.
It's a fun show, but I had to watch it with subtitles on because I could not understand a fucking thing these ladies said. I could not understand a fucking thing these ladies said. It's all in like Northern Ireland. It's like these very, it's not even a good impression. Their accents are, anyways, watch Dairy Girls.
Every character is played by Van Morrison.
While I'm talking about a different show, I think this would be a great time to remember that I need to do a quick break. So let's take that break so I can remember how to talk like a normal person again. Oh, I'm sorry, I said normal. Wow, that's fucked up.
Oh, but no, you're talking about the hit Irish program, Normal People.
Normal People, another show you should watch and read the book, Sally Rooney. It's quite good.
And if Phoebe Bridgers fly to Ireland to hook up with them.
No one's talking about this. Phoebe Bridgers flew to Ireland during the pandemic to go hook up with that guy, right? That's the word on the street. Right? And then at one point I saw on her Instagram story, she posted like in a crowded pub, no one was wearing masks, and then she took it down. I was like, Phoebe Bridgers, what are you doing? We're gonna have to cancel you, and no one's talking about it.
Sometimes you gotta fly to Ireland when you're hit indie star.
Sometimes when you have a little hard on for the hit show Normal People. I'm going to break now. Bye.
Sometimes when you got a pulsing 3/4 chub, you gotta get on Delta intern. You gotta get on Swedish Airlines. Or Nordic, what is it? Ireland. Irish Airlines.
It's Aer Lingus, and I think you know that. We're going to break now.
Good night.
Hi, we're back, and we'd like to sincerely apologize to the entire nation of Ireland, both Northern and the rest, whatever that's called. I guess regular Ireland. Don't know.
Oh, you gotta stop with the normals and regulars, man. It's 2021.
Okay, I'm gonna start over.
Who was that guy?
Hi, guys. I'm really sorry about everything I just said about Ireland. For our two Irish listeners, you can come for me on Twitter. I won't see it. I'm not looking at Twitter anymore. But if you need to cancel me, I deserve that. That's okay. Are you ready for what I'm calling the bridge?
Yes.
Which is the part of the song where he certainly gets the spins. I will never be lonely.
I'm never gonna be. Oh, yeah, he does sound drunk. Yeah, it's quite sad. Everybody wants to pass as cats?
No, he started by saying, I want to be a lion. Yeah, everybody wants to pass as cats. Which is a cool flex to say he sort of remembers the Aristocats.
You have a cat passing dog.
Everybody wants to
your
be.
Your dog looks like it could be. Your dog's cat passing.
But she's not a lion. Adam wants to
be
a lion.
I thought he said, I want to be alive. He says, I want to be a lion.
Yeah. I want to be a lion. Oh. Yeah, everybody wants to pass as cats. They all want to be big, big stars. But they all got different reasons for that. Everybody wants to be big, big stars, but they all got different reasons for that.
Has he said the thing about how he wants to be Bob Dylan yet?
No, that's next. Let's keep playing.
Oh.
Sometimes I cut these things to get you, and then I get myself. I forgot that's what that was. Laptop into the Hudson River. I'm gonna throw myself into the Hudson River. and I'm not coming back out. I'm not going to die, but I'm going to finish my days there.
Yeah. You're going to go aquatic?
This is every football player that takes creative writing. Mm. I don't understand how this was allowed legally. I don't understand, Christopher.
Can't you just see that interaction? Like Mr. Jones is trying to watch his dad play guitar, and Adam's like, hey, hey, I want to be Bob Dylan. And this, who do you want to be? And Mr. Jones like,
someone funkier?
Maybe someone a little funkier, I don't know. Who's funkier? Who would you want to be?
Me?
Yeah. Who's funkier than Bob Dylan?
Bob Dylan now.
That's pretty funky.
That's as funky as it gets. I want to be Bob Dylan now.
They're not good friends. And Adam doesn't understand that they're not.
Also, like, to be a male singer-songwriter, especially in the early 90s, and to be like, I want to be Bob Dylan.
Yeah. It's,
you hear yourself, right?
Yeah. It's a really loud reference. Yeah. For your influence.
I'm sorry, this isn't good air. I just can't stop laughing with the last line. When everybody loves you. Oh, son. That's just about as funky as you could be.
Oh, he's talking to his son now?
No, now all of a sudden he's become the authority figure. Well, Sonny, son. When everybody loves you, that's as funky as you can be.
It's actually not funky at all.
To be loved,
to be very mainstream, to be cherished by everyone is not funky.
To be well loved is the least funky thing one can do.
Yeah.
You know how people become funky?
Yeah, they lick windows on buses. That's fucking funky.
Do you know why they lick those windows?
Because they're funky.
Because they weren't loved.
That's funk.
The lack of love, that everyone deficit.
Everyone loves George Clinton? No, you don't want to hang out with George Clinton.
Ask me one more time.
Do you want to hang out with George Clinton? You want to go to Prada Manger with George C? Whatever.
Whatever. Okay, here we go. I'm sorry, just really quick. I want you to just pay attention to how absolutely apeshit the drummer is going on those cymbals. He's like, now's my time to shine. You said Bob Dylan. I'm trying to show up. You cannot tell me this man is not on a lot of drugs.
I get that. No, I remember feeling that as a child.
I want to see me staring back at me,
mm-hmm.
Framing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, sister.
Silently staring.
Sis, I see you. You're stoned. We get it.
No, he's just fame hungry.
Yeah, but you don't describe it that way unless you're high. You say, I just want to be famous. I want to be on TV. You don't go, I want to see me staring back at me. That's specifically the lens of a high person.
I want to be staring at myself, staring back at myself, saying, do something. Come on, just do something.
Now who's beautiful?
Oh, that's it.
And the organ takes us out.
Oh, wow.
And the tambourine at the very end.
Yeah, I love it. I gave it an A+.
So when you listen to the song, you feel good.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I feel great. It's the Massachusetts in me.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It makes me feel like my blood gets warm.
I don't know. I would love to hear from any queer women out there. Does anyone like this song? Is this a me thing? Is this me? I know for a fact.
I don't think it's a boast. I wouldn't say like this is a beloved song by people.
I think it's one of those
you would admire.
In my mind, it's one of those songs that like was able to, they were able to get away with it because it was like the right place in the right time. But like if this song came out now, you know what it reminds me of? The hook. That's what the same vein of music to me. It's absolutely the hook.
Blues Traveler, yeah.
Blues Traveler energy. Yeah, it's like, mm-hmm. You lucky motherfucker. Like this, you can't get away with this.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I remember also in high school being like, Master Jones and me.
It's for like nonviolent straight guys.
Yes. That's what I was trying to say about the football players who wanted to be on the soccer team.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, they're just simply nonviolent.
And honestly, like they need it. I'm glad it exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for me, but I'm glad it exists.
Yeah, I feel great.
I also happen to know it's not for somebody else as well, which is the next segment.
Oh, Christ. He's back.
Rob Moose is back.
He's back. Okay.
Rob Moose is back, and he is happy. Oh, and I did not give him enough time for the Kate Bush episode. An episode he, well, listen, I'll let him explain for himself.
I've missed you all so much. I'm really sorry that I wasn't able to sprinkle tedious bits of wisdom onto the episode about running up that hill. My wife and I had a baby 7 weeks ago, and it's made the occasional 24-hour turnaround between finding out what the song is going to be on the podcast and submitting a segment about it in time for release a little more challenging than it was before. Of course, having a baby has been an impactful experience in other ways, too, and I have to say it's really woken me up as a music listener. People always assume that since I'm a musician, I'm constantly discovering and consuming cool, new, or old music, and will have great advice on what to listen to. Often it's exactly the opposite. All my working hours are spent with headphones on in front of a couple of microphones with one of a handful of instruments in my hand, and my ears can get pretty fried by the time I'm uploading my contribution and praying that the producer likes it. Since the baby joined us, I've actually had an excuse and incentive to dust off the record collection and comb through the Streamiverse to tune up those little ears while they're at their most impressionable. It's been a blast, and I hope it's just the beginning of my reawakening as not just a practitioner of, but also a casual lover of music. Okay, that's beautiful and all, but what about this song? Well, imagine my surprise to find out that, after missing the chance to discuss a song by the innovative and iconic Kate Bush, the next offering would be none other than Counting Crows' Mr. Jones. My first thought was, try to interweave analysis of the two songs in a kind of surreal take on my own segment. My next thought was, play dumb and analyze Kate Bush and forego Counting Crows. Time passed, nothing happened, and earlier today I was out for a walk with said baby when I got a text from Miel asking for an update on the segment. She was going to tape in 2 hours and wondered where I was with it. Nowhere was the answer. So I quickly fumbled through Spotify and typed in some words that are going to skew my algorithm for years to come. I listened through, made some quick observations, and as soon as the song was over, I noticed some music playing from a nearby car stopped at a red light. I heard a beautiful string line atop a great feel, and I thought, maybe this is a sign. I said, hey, what's that song? No response. I walked toward the car and repeated my question. No response. At this point, I didn't want to get yelled at or run over, but I tried one more time. The car's driver, I think, just hadn't heard me, and certainly wasn't expecting to be interfacing with a live human carrying a tiny human while texting at a red light. She finally responded that the band is called Starview, spelled with a V-U-E at the end, and the song is Body Fusion. So how about in lieu of my sharing any notes, any thoughts at all on Mr. Jones, how about I just offer up that song as a listening suggestion for you?
I knew the day would come.
I am shattered.
I knew the day would come where Rob would be like, simply no, I will not. And it's Mr. Jones that did it. It's Mr. Jones that did it.
I want to admit Robin to a college with that essay.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, that was incredible. My guy's rolling on CBD right now.
Honestly, I think that's what a baby does to you.
He sounds incredible.
I know. And I love every part of that. I do. Love him. I mean, I always wonder like how musicians relate to music.
That was
when
amazing.
It's all you do.
He was taking, you know, he said, I'm not going to fucking lambaste this.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
This is time for positivity. Wow.
So he just gave you a song suggestion.
Wow. What an incredible story arc.
Honestly, if everyone wants to go tell Rob Moose at Moose Rob on everything that you liked that, I think you should. I think it would be really nice. And I think we should all do it because this man has no business doing this podcast.
What if Body Fusion is just absolutely satanic?
Or what if
Body Fusion? Body Fusion.
What if it doesn't exist?
Oh, wow. And we can never get a hold of him ever again.
I text him, hey, Rob, what's going on?
Rob's last trick. And for my final trick.
Okay. So now we get to the punch up. I'm very excited about this. Again, this was made by Ian Edgerly. This was his pitch. To be clear, this was not my concept. However, this is absolutely the concept I would have gone in, because if you take these lyrics and just read them by themselves, it kind of does vibe like a certain performance artist, like you might say Bob Dylan or someone, right?
Or perhaps if you're me, knowing who I like, you want to take any guesses here?
Tom Waits.
Right. So Ian did.
Oh, wow.
Ian did Mr. Jones as performed by Tom Waits.
Oh, wow.
A conversation with the black haired mango dance. You know, she dances with her father. Please, guitar. She's suddenly beautiful.
This sounds so legit.
Yeah, it does. You can see him doing it. Man, I wish I twitching. Was beautiful. So go dance the sun's down. It's really strong.
Oh my god.
Show me some of that Spanish dancing. Pass me the
ball. I like the beat.
It's very Banjo Kazooie.
Yeah, yeah. This is really legit.
Mr. Jones and tell each other fairy tales and stare at the beautiful woman. She's looking in. Oh no, she's looking in. She's smiling in the bright light. Coming through in stereo. Yeah, with everybody loves.
Is it getting more dissonant?
Oh my god! This makes so much sense this way.
It sounds more profound.
I don't mind it when it's like this.
It's gonna give me a panic attack.
Tom Waits might have like a New Orleans band come in here, but this is great.
He would just use like an electric fence.
Everybody wants to pass. I cannot believe he did the whole song. We all wanna be
yes. This is the production.
Can he talk anymore?
And I was thinking that. This must be really hard on the old pipes. Oh, this is good. The more romantic Tom Waits.
Take us home, Tom!
Yeah. It's pretty good. Wow. That's amazing.
Everybody loves you.
That was amazing.
And he never spoke again.
Yeah.
I kept expecting at the very end for there to be a, we're gonna be big stars. The way he does that creepy fucking that was amazing.
That was
Mr. Jones. How does he do that?
Too.
You have to separate your vocal cords.
Yes, gotta do some long-term damage.
Oh my god, thank you to Ian Edgerly. What a fucking treat.
Brava.
Holy shit, that was, I'm kind of speechless. That was so uncanny.
Yeah, that was really good. I feel like you could release that and just say it was Tom Waits.
Oh yeah, like Tom Waits. Yeah. You guys, everyone, did anyone hear the new, we should do that. I should tweet that. Did anyone hear Tom Waits covered Counting Crows and just tweet that. Yeah. See what happens.
Yeah, and monetize it.
With that said, wow, let's get to Unpunchable Jams.
You can't punch this.
Christopher?
Are we going second?
Christopher Wallace Fleming?
You go first.
Okay, my turn. Well, I guess you're going to know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. You ready?
Yeah.
Tom Waits.
Oh, okay.
I got to do Tom Waits. I've only put 2 Tom Waits songs on this playlist, and I would say there are at least 15 Unpunchable Tom Waits songs.
Yeah.
I got to do the song that they just took off Spotify. In fact, I think they took the whole Rain Dogs album off fucking Spotify. I got to do Anywhere I Lay My Head.
You're laughing.
This song is so beautiful. If you like the way Tom Waits sings, it's beautiful.
I do.
And it's one song for the first like 3 quarters. And at the very end, it's like a New Orleans funeral procession band. It just becomes a totally different thing.
Yeah, he really tried to not get played on the radio.
He really actively tried not to. And that's why we love him.
Yeah.
And it also starts with like this beautiful horn. And then he's like, my head is spinning around. My heart was in my shoes, yeah. It's so beautiful. I love it so much. What's your Unpunchable Jam?
I'll do another Tom Waits song.
What? Really?
Yeah, let's do Clap Hands.
I love Clap Hands! This is just the Tom Waits episode.
An elephant vertebra.
Vertebra.
Bre.
Vertebra. That's like when you go to the chiropractor, but it's like, no, no homo though.
No, it's vertebra, man. It's vertebra.
Christopher?
Thanks so much.
I didn't even say thank you yet.
I just gave my computer laptop butterfly kisses.
Thank you so much for coming back yet again.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Everyone follow Chris Fleming or Chris Fluming on various platforms. He's been posting videos and very, very good tweets that keep going viral. And I'm going to tell him how to be a star, a big, big star.
And follow me at or is it
I have to email? Bleep that. That's my real email. You're such a piece of shit.
Good night.
Bye.
Okay, that was
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Hey!
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.